It is good to see everyone that is here this morning. I'll say this. If I haven't said good morning, and it is a blessing for us to be here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Again, I want to thank the leadership for giving me the opportunity to come to share over the last couple of weeks. Last week we were here, and we were excited to be here. I got to be honest, I was a little charged up when we left. Last week. It was good to be here, and I shared with you all last week, Tehachapi helped give me my start. Anytime that they call and say, hey, would you mind coming up, I'm going to find a way, right? Not Derek, just because of the money, right? But it's just because you guys helped give me my start, and so it is good to see each and every one of you. I know that there are some who are traveling, will be traveling, so we want to pray for them. As they are on their journeys. I never want to forget those who are sick among the number, some folks that are dealing with illnesses, and some may just be short, temporary, or some that may be dealing with some chronic illnesses. So you want to don't forget about them, right, and those who are bereaved. Now, I want to say one thing about being bereaved, about losing someone. It's not just after the funeral and then you expect to get better, right? Bereavement can take some time, take some weeks, months, years. You may never get over it, right? But we want to continue to pray for those who are bereaved. And so, again, thank you for inviting my wife and I up. I don't roll alone, y'all. I roll with a team. It's a wife. So if you don't want to say amen, guess what? She will. She will, and I do want to thank my wife, Denisha, for being with us and always supporting when we share the Word of God. So I want to share with you, there was a gardener who had a small, overlooked corner in his yard. And one spring, he decided, you know what, I'm going to plant some seeds over in this small corner. And he planted some seeds for some small flowers and a small tiny tree, and he watered them faithfully, even though that spot didn't get much attention in his yard. Now, for those who do some gardening, you try to make your yard look real nice, but there's always that one spot where nothing grows, right? It's just, I watered it, and I tried to till the ground, nothing grows. So he watered it faithfully, and even though that spot didn't get much attention, and you know what? By summer's end, that little patch had become the brightest, most beautiful part of his garden, even to the point where the neighbors would walk by and they would comment and stop and admire, amazed at how something so small could bring so much beauty and joy. And you know what, brothers and sisters, sometimes it's the places and the people that seem small or unnoticed that God uses to show his greatness and his beauty and his strength. Again, we want to thank the leadership for the opportunity to come up and share. And last week, we talked on the topic of small but mighty, and wanted to encourage us and let us know that God uses even the smallest groups for the greatest purposes. And this week, we want to look at the topic of planted to flourish. Planted to flourish, and how God calls us not to just survive, okay, but to thrive and to bear fruit wherever we are. So for a scriptural foundation, I want to look at Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 and 13. Psalm 92, 12 and 13. There it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. So our first point this morning is this, that God plants us with a purpose. God plants us with a purpose. I want to share this, that we are not here by accident. God has placed each person in this congregation for a reason. I want you to think about that. You are here for a purpose. You are here for a reason. Because once I remember going, I was in college, and it was the first day, and I'm like, I don't know what room this class is that I had to go into. But I'm looking around, and I walk in, and there was all these people looking at me. I was late. And I'm looking like, am I in the right place? And the professor said, hey, this is chemistry for something. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I was taking a sociology class, so that was not the right place, right? I was there by accident, went to the wrong place. I was still trying to struggle to find out where I needed to go. Derek, I think I just ditched that day, and I just, don't ditch, you guys, don't do that, right? But with that, I was in the wrong place. But I want to share with us this morning that you are not in the wrong place. God has purposely put you here for his purpose and for a reason. And like seeds planted in good soil, God intends for us to grow no matter the size of our fellowship. Brothers and sisters, God intends for us to grow. Sisters and brothers, your presence matters. Your gifts matter. Your prayers matter. And I just want to pause and think about that for a second. Your presence matters. Your gifts matter. Okay? I'll share this with you. When I come to God's house, I am encouraged when I see my brothers and sisters. And I hope that you are too. But if you're not here, how can you encourage someone? You have to be here in order to encourage someone. And I love this piece right here. Your gifts matter. Whatever you do, your gifts, your talents, your abilities that have been given to you by God matter. Well, Johnny, no, I went to school for my abilities to do what I do. Well, yes, thank God he gave you the opportunity to go to school, but he still gave it to you, gave you that opportunity, right? Your gifts matter. What you do matters. I love right after when we got done with Bible study this morning, I know there's a fellowship that's right after, and folks were working together and putting tables and chairs and tablecloths and things like that. Well, guess what? If you don't use your talent to help set things up, use your gifts to be able to do those things, use your abilities, it doesn't get set up. We're going to be sitting there on TV trays or trying to hold a plate like this and trying to eat, right? But because of everybody working together, right? And maybe maybe you only touched one chair. Maybe you moved a whole table. But guess what? It all comes together. It all works together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10 says this, for we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do bad works. No, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, you mean to tell me, Johnny, that when I helped set up that table, when I helped the church do this, that God had already planned for me to do that, to help the church, to help the body, to pray for this person and support them? Yes, you know what? God had prepared that for you in advance. You know, it's one thing to just look and say, oh, this needs to be done. I'll just do this real quick. But it's another thing to know that someone has put some thought and some effort into something, right? And guess what? God has put some thought and some effort into each and every one of us, right? So we are here in Christ Jesus to do good works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says this, but now God has placed the members, each of them, in the body just as he desire. You think that, hey, Tehachapi Church of Christ is your home by accident? No. You think you chose to be here? No. God placed you here to be used for his purpose. And in Psalm 138, verse number 8 says this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. You are here for a reason. That is to fulfill the purpose that God has placed and given to each and every one of us. But I want to tell you this. Don't harm God by not doing what you know you can do. Don't harm God by being lazy and saying, I'll just let those brothers or those sisters do it. They can do it. That minister, he's on a payroll. He can do it. You know this, I'll tell you this. The elders and the ministers are not the ones who are charged to go out and to save the world. It says that the elders and the ministers are to equip the brothers and sisters to go out. I know you don't want to hear that, but I'm going to tell the truth this morning. We are equipped to go out and to share. We are equipped to go out and to work for the Lord. Don't shun your responsibilities. You guys ever work with somebody at work who was lazy? Didn't do that? He said, oh, I know that's right. Yes, we have. Every one of us have. And guess what? If you haven't worked with someone like that, they probably think you're the lazy anyways. But with that, right? You ever work with somebody who don't want to do their part? And now it's like, oh, man, Paul missed again. So now I got to do his job and do my job. Y'all, I've been there. That does not, yeah, I can't say that word. But, you know, it's not fun, right? Well, guess what? The same when you're not here. Oh, I'm going to tell the truth this morning, right? We need to be here. We need to do our part because that is what God has purposed for us to do. It is, like I shared last week, it's not a checklist. Oh, you know what? I came to church. Check. I'm ready to move on, right? No, it is because we have been purposed by God. Our second point is this. Flourishing isn't about size, but it's about roots. It's not about size, but it's about roots. Palm trees and cedar trees are mentioned in the text in Psalm 92. And I believe they are mentioned because they have deep roots and can withstand storms. You guys ever see a tree that after a windstorm sometimes is leaning over, right? Or when you plant a tree, you plant two sticks next to it and you tie it there. Why is that? Because the roots have not gone all the way down and it won't stand strong and firm. Well, brothers and sisters, it's not about, oh my goodness, we only have 30 or 40 members. It's about how deep are the roots in the Word of God, right? How deep are the roots in the Word of God? Well, Johnny, how is it then that we get our roots deep in God's Word? Study His Word. Pray to God. Come to worship. Come to Bible study. I'm going to share this. Even though I'm preaching this morning and I'm a minister, you don't get everything that you need for life from the pulpit. You get actually better study in Bible study because now we can talk and we can discuss and we can make some real life practical applications to it. So this is my commercial for Bible study. Bible study, 9:30 a.m. Is that right? Every Sunday or is it some Sundays? Every Sunday. I know that's right. Come out for Bible study so you can learn and we can have discussion and talk about it. You guys ever read something in the Bible and not understand it? Oh, I know I do too, right? There have been times even I have studied a text and trying to teach it and I just didn't get it. But I would come to Bible study and I would listen to someone else explain it or talk about it. I'm like, aha, right now I got it. I understand, right? So there is important for us to come to Bible study. Why is that? Is it again so we can check the box and be in compliance? No. It's so that we can become rooted in the Word of God. Our strength comes from being rooted in God's Word, comes from being rooted in Christ and not from numbers. Sometimes we're so concerned with how many people. Don't always be concerned with how many people. That just means how many more problems you may have, right? Be concerned with being rooted in God's Word. When you're rooted in God's Word and love, we can flourish even in the challenging seasons. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear what heat comes, its leaves are always green." And then we see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that we are rooted in Christ. Our third point we want to look at this morning is, in order to be planted and flourish, we must bear fruit together. We must bear fruit together. Y'all, we have to bear some fruit. What does that look like, Johnny? That looks like not only going out to serve, not only bringing others in, but fruit also flourishes as we live our lives. It flourishes as we are good neighbors to one another. It flourishes as we pray for one another. It flourishes in our life, in your study, right? Flourishing leads to fruitfulness, kindness, love, joy, peace, service, and encouragement to others. Even a small group can make a big impact by loving one another and reaching out. I want to read for us John chapter 15, verse number 8. It says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Uh-oh, that tells us right there the importance of bearing fruit. Why is that? Because you show to be God's disciples. How do we differentiate ourselves from others, right? It is by being a disciple, showing to be a disciple. How is that? You got to bear some fruit. Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine if you had an apple tree that didn't grow any apples? Huh? An orange tree that didn't bear any oranges. What would you think about that tree? If I remember correctly, there's some biblical example of that. We see that Jesus was walking by a wayside, and he did what? He cursed the fig tree. Why? He just wanted to do it? No. The fig tree wasn't growing any figs. He cursed it. Now, if we are children of God, and we are to bear some fruit, but we don't bear some fruit, I'll let you fill in the blank, right? Brothers and sisters, we must bear fruit. Johnny, what does bearing fruit look like? Bearing fruit means that we pray one for another. We come to worship God. We help and support one another. We pray one for another. We share God's word with those who need to hear God's word. And I want to tell you this. If you don't know everything you need to know or you want to know about God's word, guess what? Bring them here. There's some very smart folks in here, right? I'm going to put them on blast. Y'all don't beat me up later. But y'all got some elders in this congregation. Bring them and have them talk with the elders if you don't know. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know what you know in order to be saved. Is that okay? Hebrews chapter 10, 24, we read this scripture before, but it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another to love and good works." Right? Love and good works. John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if" what? "You love one another." And as we prepare to close out this morning, I want to give us some encouragement for our journey. I want to remind each of us that God sees your faithfulness, even when it feels unnoticed. God sees your faithfulness even when you feel or it feels unnoticed. But I want to make a counterpoint here. God sees when you're not faithful as well. A lot of times we come up with excuses on why we can't do what we know we need to do. Oh, well, you know, I got family that's coming over, so I'm going to stay home and be with them. No, bring them to church with you. Well, you know, I can't go because my grandkids got this going and got that going. Hey, you know what, baby? I'll see you when you get back, right? Or I'll be right there as soon as church is over, right? Many times We want to put so many things in front of God. And as we talked about in our Bible study this morning, we have to be intentional about keeping God first. I want to encourage each of you and each of us to keep praying, keep serving, and keep supporting each other in the spirit of love. God promises to bring growth in His time. In His time. Our job is to remain faithful and to be good servants of His. Johnny, there you go again, talking about being faithful. There you go, talking about being good servants. Yes, we got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. Been in a relationship before? You got to be faithful. You know what that means. You're on your job, you got to be faithful to be there on time. Do the work that they're paying you to do. Don't get upset when they fire you because you're off doing something else you're not supposed to be doing. Oh, my Lord, we understand it from that concept, but when it comes to spiritual things, God understands. No, human understands, right? Remember, as somebody said in our Bible study this morning, God's thoughts aren't our thoughts and His ways aren't our ways. We're quick to justify, right? But God promises to bring growth in His time, and our job is to remain faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I love this verse because my mom used to tell it to us every time before we got out of the car going to school. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us, brothers and sisters, not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not," which means if you don't give up, you're going to reap, you're going to benefit. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says this, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you've helped His people and continue to help them." So I want to share with us some practical encouragements. First of all, brothers and sisters, let's stay connected. Continue gathering. Continue coming together. Continue praying. Continue sharing together. Matthew 18 and 20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them," or in the midst of them. Brothers and sisters, we got to look for opportunities each week. Ask God, how can I encourage or help someone else? Ask that question, how can I encourage or help someone else? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing now." When we come together and when we worship together, you know you're building up your brothers and sisters? Sometimes we think about what's in it for me. What is that? The wiffum, right? What's in it for me? But do you know that when you're here, you're building up your brothers and sisters? Just think about that for a second. Trust God's timing. I'm going to be honest with you. I put this in the message because I was talking to me. But we have to trust God's timing. Growth may be slow, but God is always at work beneath the surface. I'll tell you this. You remember little kids were like, "Oh my goodness, you're getting so big," right? But you're like, "I don't think I'm getting big." You guys remember growing up? I feel like I've been the same height. But when someone hasn't seen you for a long time and they see you, like, "Oh my goodness, you've grown so tall." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I have, haven't I?" Right? You don't see it. It's so slow, and you see yourself every day. But I want to tell us this. We got to trust God's timing. You may not see it, but guess what? God is working. He's working it out for you, right? But sometimes we want it to be on our time, but we may mess the whole thing up. Is that right? We may say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to do it this way." And y'all ever make something, you just cut a little bit, put an extra sugar, extra salt, and you mess up the whole recipe? Right? Well, you know what? God is cooking. Don't mess up the recipe. Let Him cook. Let Him do His thing. I want to share with us from Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. It says, "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So there's a true story of a small church in a rural town that worried it was too small to make a difference. Well, one winter, a family in the community lost their home to a fire. The church, though small, they came together, sharing what little they had. They provided meals. They provided clothes. And they gave them a place to stay. And that act of love was talked about for years. And it drew new people to the church. Not because of its size, but because of its heart. Brothers and sisters, when we let God use us, no matter how small we may feel, we can become the brightest light in the community. And I want to say this as best I can. If there was ever a time that the world needs the light, the time is now. If there was ever a time that Tehachapi needs a light, the time is now. I want to ask a question. Who then is to be the light? We want to sit back sometimes, and I don't want to be critical in the Church of Christ, but I want to be an honest person in the Church of Christ. We sit back and we say, let others do it. We sit back and say, God's going to bless them. And you know what? God will bless them. But guess what? He blesses them through us. Right? If there was ever a time, brothers and sisters, that we need to let our light shine in the community, the time is now. The time is now. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Again, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up, brothers and sisters. We're planted to flourish. You're here for a reason. Let your roots get deep in God. Let them get deep in his word. Let him use you. Get out of your head. Get out of your own head. And let God use you. Johnny, I don't know how God can use me. I don't know what I can do. I want to share something with you. I don't know if you think about it like this. This is how my mind thinks. You know that when we became part of God's family, we received the greatest gift ever? You may say, oh, yeah, I got a church family. I know where to go to church. Do you know that when you became part of God's family, when you were baptized, you were given a great gift, and that gift is the Holy Spirit. That gift is the Spirit. Johnny, what is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit guides us spiritually. You know, when you're out there doing some things that you know you shouldn't be doing, and half of you says, now, you know you shouldn't. Well, spiritually, that's the Holy Spirit telling us, now, you know you shouldn't. Okay? We have that great gift, but it just doesn't direct us in terms of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It also directs us in being used by God. All of us have a talent to do something. I don't care whether it's to turn on the leaf blower and blow some leaves or to put the church finances together. We all can be used by God. Let God use you. We've been talking about being planted and flourishing for God. I want to tell you, though, sometimes we don't flourish because there's something there's a divide there. Do you know what the divide is? The divide is sin. Oh, do we talk about sin in the church? Yes, we do, right? Because sin is real, right? Sin causes that divide between us and God. God is always there. He's always constant. He's always great. He's always awesome. But that divide is caused by us because we allow sin to come in, right? I want to tell us that although sin is there, Scripture say that we all sin and come short of the glory of God, right? But we just shouldn't hang there. Hey, I sin. Whatever we all do, oh, well. No, you got to get that right with God. How is it that you get right with God? You have to ask for forgiveness of sin. And we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Ask God to forgive you of that sin. We all do, right? And then if there's some things going on in your life and you need prayer, ask the church to pray with you, pray for you. I saw the brother just put the attendance up. It's 25 plus some more in the back. Well, guess what? I know you've been praying for your issue. That's times one. But now if you let us know that you need prayer, now it's times 25. Last time I checked, 25 is bigger than one. Is that okay? I'm not a math major, but I know that, right? So now you got 25 people that love you and care for you and will pray for you, pray with you, right? And if there's anyone who is here this morning that is not part of God's family, I want to tell you that you can be planted so you can flourish, but first you have to become part of his family. How is it that I become part of God's family? First, you must hear his word. Believe what it is that you have heard. Repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that confession will bring death to you. Oh my gosh, Johnny, I'm going to die. Yes, that old sinful man is going to die. The scriptures say that once we're baptized, that we were given a new life, a new body, right? And then the scriptures encourage us to be baptized, Acts 2:38. And then the scriptures say, arise. It means get up and walk in the newness of life. Sin will bring you down, but the scriptures say, arise and walk. Issues will bring us down. The scriptures say, arise and walk. Ourselves will bring us down, but the scripture encourages us to arise and to walk. We're planted for a purpose. Let's sing our invitational hymn. Thank you.